Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Oh, gracious Father, we pray this morning that you would keep the promise that you have made to us, that wherever your word goes forth, it will accomplish your purposes. Grant it in each of our hearts as well. Amen. Please be seated. When I was a student in Tahlequah High School in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, a movie production studio came to town and began to work on a movie. The movie was entitled Where the Red Fern Grows. Maybe some of you have seen that movie in your time. This was the first version of the movie, not the latest one. And you know you're getting old when they already come out with another version of the movie they made when you were in high school. Anyway, a young man in my high school class auditioned and got a part in that movie. His name was John Lindsay. And man, were we excited. Of course, we all knew him and touched him. I did. And he had a part in the movie, a speaking part, no less. And they made the movie, and then the production studio went away, and we didn't hear anything. And finally, the movie came out. In the meantime, all the excitement kind of died down. But when the movie came out, the excitement went right back up again. And everybody wanted to go see John Lindsay, the hometown boy, in his movie debut. And it's kind of disappointing they cut out everything but one sentence, I think, that he had spoken. But still, it was one sentence in the movie. We were happy to see it. But that kind of excitement, right? That kind of excitement gripped the synagogue one Sabbath morning in Nazareth. Jesus really had just begun his ministry, but already the news of him had spread back to his hometown from places, I guess, like Capernaum and maybe some other villages in Galilee, and they were excited. And he came to town one Sabbath morning, and he was in the synagogue, and Luke records for us what happened. And the first part of what happened there at the synagogue is what we're going to read right now as our lesson for this morning, found in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, and continuing to verse 21. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. What an important statement. One little statement, as his custom was. I wonder, is that your custom to be in church on Sunday? Anyway, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. Interesting, isn't it? They had assigned readings just like we do on Sunday mornings. They had the law and the prophets. Now, this that Jesus was going to read was the prophets. And we have, of course, the epistle and the gospel lesson and the Old Testament lesson. But he stood up to read. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. I like this next sentence. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. They're just waiting to see what he's going to say. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Man, that last sentence rolls off the tongue so quickly. It passes by our ears before we even get a chance to think about it, hardly. But if you had been in the synagogue that morning, you would have a different take on this passage. Because that one sentence, "Today this is fulfilled in your hearing," that was a bombshell to those people in that synagogue that day, right? Just a bombshell to them. Because what Jesus is doing, he's taking a passage from the, a prophecy actually, from the Old Testament that had already been fulfilled, and saying that he is the real fulfillment of that passage. Back in the Old Testament context, this was a passage that dealt with the Jews who were captive in Babylon. They were slaves in Babylon, and it predicts that they would be set free, and sure enough, it happened. And Jesus is now saying that he is the fulfillment of this passage. You can imagine what those people are thinking. How can he just take this passage and apply it to himself like that? Surely he can't do that unless he's making a claim that he is the anointed one. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him because he's anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor. Surely that couldn't be that he's making that claim. Let's look at some of these other claims, shall we, in this passage? Jesus is making this claim that he is the one who fulfills that prophecy. And he says this. He says he's anointed to preach the gospel, that is, the good news to the poor. You know, you got to wonder, if they're poor, why not just give them some money, right? That ought to fix them up. Well, because you know as well as I do that there is a poverty that goes way deeper than the bank account, right? There's a poverty in the heart, poverty in the soul. And that's what he's talking about here. We even have sayings that reflect this kind of poverty, don't we? We say about somebody, man, he's morally bankrupt, right? You've heard that saying? I'll tell you something, though I can't say it's a pleasure to say this, but you look in the camera and see yourself on the front of your cell phone, and I would say mirror, but that's getting kind of old, I guess, to say, look at yourself in the mirror. And you're not as rich as you think you are. Some of that moral bankruptcy corrupts your heart, too. He has sent me to the brokenhearted, he says. I like the translation that simply says, he has sent me to the broken. Other translations say bruised, to bind up the bruised. I like broken. That's so descriptive, isn't it? Broken. Man, I've been there. Haven't you? In fact, I'll bet you there's a few people in here who live there. Always bruised. Always broken. I'll tell you something. There's a healer for you. He's the anointed one in this passage. Jesus, listen to him. He's here for you. Jesus says he came to proclaim liberty to the captives. I wonder, is there something that has you captivated? Man, that's a broad statement, isn't it? That could be a hundred things, right? Covers a lot of ground. Could be a habitual sin from which you cannot seem to escape. Could be a sin that now, once you've committed that sin, now your conscience keeps bringing it up over and over again. It's your conscience that has you bound. Could be any of those things, couldn't it, that holds you captive. There is freedom for you. That's what Jesus is saying, and he brings it. My son tells me, and he ought to know this because he seems to spend every waking moment when he's not working on his smartphone. But I tell him, he's a programmer, so I tell him, you know, why don't you make an app that will pop up and remind people to take their pills when it's time to take their medicine, right? See, he says, there's a dozen apps like that already. He says, you could never think of an app that somebody hasn't already thought of yet. There's an app for everything, he says, already. There's no sense trying to invent another one. There is no app that can mend a broken life. There is no app that can fix the poverty of a sinful heart or set free a person who's been in a dungeon of his own making. It takes a Savior to do that. A Savior who is God, God the Son. And that's what Jesus claimed to be in the synagogue on that Sabbath morning. And he proved it when he went to the cross and he bled his blood there on the cross to buy those very blessings for you. And he purchased them and he gives them to you. He gives them to you in himself. And he says, take me. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And in his brokenness, there is healing for you. He proved that he is your Savior when he died and when he rose again. And so now we would pray, gracious Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, fix in our heart the remembrance that you are my Anointed One, that you have taken my sins away and given to me the blessings of forgiveness, everlasting life, a clean conscience, an amended life. And grant it all, my Lord Jesus, in your own name. Amen.